The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lino Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. Adolescence marks the period between childhood and adulthood when hormonal changes transform boys and girls into young men and women able to have children of their own. In many parts of the world, young people do not have access to information and support that would enable them to protect their own sexual and reproductive health. We'll discuss this and more on today's program with our guests. Joining us via phone from Baltimore, Maryland is Dr. Michelle Farmer, Senior Advisor for Non-Communicable Diseases and Adolescent Health Expert with JPIGO, an affiliate of Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Farmer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to join you.
We are happy you are joining us. And we have two guests who are joining us via phone from Kenya. First is Felicity Karimi. She's a youth leader of the Bright Future program in Kenya. Felicity, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Great. We also have Alan. Alan is a peer educator with Brighter Future program. And Alan will join us very shortly. But not least, I should say, we have in our studio here in Washington, D.C., Voice of America radio producer and social media correspondent Kwame Ofori. Kwame, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Linode, for having me today.
It's good to have you here. You will be my sidekick today.
Of course.
We're talking about adolescent health, youth, and I know you have some very good questions for Dr. Farmer there.
Certainly.
Let me remind our listeners, if you'd like to participate in the show with your questions or comment, you can call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1, and you can ask your international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thoughts and questions, as you often do, at healthchat@voanews.com, and you can also post them on facebook.com/voahealthchat. We will discuss youth and reproductive health in a moment, but first, we spoke to Wangari Winjigu. She's a student in Nairobi and a participant of the Brighter Future program. Let's take a listen. As a young woman of today, how do you talk to your parents, or what type of rapport do you have with your parents when it comes to talking about sexuality?
Sexuality is a matter that is not, it's rarely talked about back in Africa, back in Kenya. So talking about it is merely just by mention. It's never too deep, it's never too serious. You will not actually find out what exactly you need to find out from your parents. Maybe from your peers, teachers, doctors, but rarely from your parents.
Felicity, so we heard Wangari saying that talking about sexuality with parents in Africa, at least for her, is very superficial in a way. How is it with you? How do you talk to your parents about sexuality, or are you able to? Felicity?
Okay,
yes,
in my experience, with the trauma we've received, it's not very hard for us to talk about sexuality, but it becomes a problem due to the culture in Kenya. People are not used to talking about sex openly. Okay. So we tend to talk to people and they...
Okay. Felicity, let me interrupt you. Unfortunately, your line is a bit, we cannot hear you very clearly. We will call you back and get your take on this question. Let me toss this question to you, Kwame. Growing up, when you became a teenager, how did you talk to your parents about sexuality back in Ghana?
I don't know for other people in Africa, but I know my parents and I never had a discussion towards sexuality or being sexually active. Mm-hmm. Everyone like me, especially in my circle of friends, actually learned about sexuality and everything concerning sex from our own peers and from quote-unquote the streets. So I think it's a matter of the culture and sex look being put in a corner and then not being spoken about openly, especially among the African youth. even though we all know a lot of young people are actually engaging in the act, mm-hmm. most of them are not being spoken to or educated about it. And then it tends to be a cultural thing.
Very, very interesting. Dr. Farmer, we hear these different perspectives from African youth saying that it seems to be culturally unacceptable to some extent. But is it something that is being also acknowledged in the West, or is it experienced in the West from the youth?
Well, you know, we do have varying ranges of levels of comfort in our communities. I think, though, that as the young people have described, many parents feel, that they are not able to address all of the questions of their children, and they're often looking for help. Maybe they may ask a physician or a nurse, or they may even look to the schools to provide the education. Because there is as with many young people, they have lots of questions, and they're not shy about asking these questions.
Yes.
It's just that I think when parents are not well prepared to answer their questions, it frequently is an issue that just is not addressed in the home. But I will say that home and communities are excellent sources of information, provided the adults in these communities and at home have the right resources to inform their adolescents and their young adult children.
What I noticed, it seems like, at least when I was growing up and I became an adolescent, it seemed like there was more freedom for boys as opposed to girls. And I guess to some extent it's cultural, maybe not, I'm not sure. But can you speak on the difference between young men and young women when it comes to talking about sexual education?
Well, you know, that's a very good question that you're asking me. And I certainly think that there is a significant level of vulnerability for young men or boys, as well as young women or girls. We speak a lot about the sense of pressure adolescents and even young adults will feel. And I should say, just to digress, when we talk about adolescents, we're usually referring to young people, if we give it an age group, between the ages of 10 to 19. And when we talk about youth, we're usually talking about young people aged 15 to 24 years of age, although even that has cultural significance and cultural relevance, that many times people consider young adults up into their early 30s. But regardless of what age we're talking about and how we categorize these young people, there is a level of vulnerability, mm-hmm. a sense of pressure. And okay. In some cases where young women are concerned, there may be pressure to marry, and then following that pressure to have children, often at a very young age.
Okay.
Actually, and with young men, they may have different kinds of pressure, but these kinds of pressures can make both young men and young women very vulnerable.
Okay, and let me come to you. Felicity, are you there? Okay, we don't have Felicity. I will talk to Kwame now. Dr. Farmer mentioned pressure, and a lot of time we hear a young woman talking about the fact that they're being pressured to have, sex at a certain time in their friendship or relationship with a boy. Why do you pressure young women, or do men pressure young women? To what extent is this a reality?
Sounds like
and
question.
Be honest.
Sounds like I have to answer the question for all men. Anyway, it varies from each relationship and from each man. Okay, and then there are different factors that come together to whether a certain person you are in a relationship with pressures you to have sex with them or not, especially at that young age, mm-hmm. say between 15 or sometimes even as young as 13 upwards. Now, women men view women as quite vulnerable. And sometimes some men tend to prey on that vulnerability, which is not right. Mm-hmm. But some of these women also tend to fall for that niche of, oh, I'm a vulnerable person, and okay, the man should lead me, and if he's asking for sex, who am I to refuse? Mm-hmm. But then women should understand that you have the power to your own sexuality. Fine, there might be a situation where your parents didn't have the time or really were shying away from educating you about your sexuality and how to keep yourself, or generally everything concerning sex. Mm-hmm. But notwithstanding, I'm sure young people of today some way somehow educate themselves about sex, be it in school or from their own friends.
Absolutely.
I mean, and if your friend comes to you, unfortunately maybe has had sex already at a young age, and tells you their experience, it's a learning process. I mean, you can pick something up from even that friend and educate yourself about it. So if you do find yourself in a relationship like that, and then your boyfriend is pressuring you, oh, let's go have sex, and you realize, no, based on the experiences I've seen and based on what I know and based on my own conviction,
yeah,
I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
It's not pressure. And if you are in a relationship where a guy is pressuring you to have sex, then you are in the wrong relationship. I'm sorry to say this.
Well, that's a good point you're making. And Alan, you are a peer educator with the Bright Future program. Let me get your take on this. As a young man, but also as an educator, what do you see, and what is the conversation you're having with young men about this issue of pressure, this issue of sex?
Okay, so at my side, I would say that we have the way people perceive sex, or when women come up as a husband, we have a problem where people have something to go and experiment with.
Okay. Alan, unfortunately, we cannot hear you at all. We're having very, very bad luck with the lines from Nairobi today. I'm not sure why. The producer is working on it. Hopefully, we'll be able to reconnect with you and get your take on some of these questions that we're raising, Alan. Yeah. So stick around, and we'll try to reach you again. Felicity, is Felicity there? No, we don't have Felicity either. Okay, so let me come back to you, Kwame. We talked about pressure, but what on social media? I know when I was growing up, there was no social media, right? I sound a little bit antique, but that's okay. today, you know, the youth are so busy on social media. What mm-hmm. are they talking about when it comes to reproductive health, when it comes to sex? What are the discussions?
They are talking about everything.
Okay.
The youth, like Dr. Farmer said, the youth of today really are very curious, mm-hmm. and they want to know about everything. So if you're a parent out there and you think, oh, maybe if I say certain things to my kid, or if I use certain words, I might be spoiling them, quote unquote, or exposing them to too much, then you are really mistaken, because at a very tender age, a lot of kids are discovering a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And on social media, it's very evident when you have different kids talking about sex. Let me just say everything about sex.
Okay.
Everything okay. about sex, from contraceptives to abortions to sex as a symbol, and sex, the actual act, like
okay.
the kids are really talking. So
they're talking. Okay. Yeah. So they're busy on social media.
That is how come we really need to educate these kids
yes.
at that young age. Okay. Educate them and then empower them so they make the right choices when it comes to sex.
Okay. And Felicity.
And I'm sorry that the Brighter Futures team, that Felicity and Alan aren't on the line.
I know.
But I do want to give a strong information about the benefits of programs like Brighter Futures, because what they are doing is they are working together. It's a largely youth-led program where young people are encouraged to make good, sound life plans. And so in that context of making a good plan for your life and a plan for your future, they're thinking about how they can prepare themselves so that they can make good decisions in the interest of their sexual health as well. And, you know, as Kwame is saying, you know, social media has a lot of information, but I think that with young people, they often need the help of and guidance of adults to clarify and to really understand what they're hearing, what they're reading, and I think the Brighter Futures program gives them a chance, gives them a safe space where they can do just that, learn, make a life plan, and this plan will integrate into that positive aspects of health. This is empowering, and I think it helps to give them strength to resist some of the pressures that they often face.
Okay, and I think we have Felicity back on the line. Felicity, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so let me have your take on this. We talked about pressure earlier, about looking at how some young men pressure young girls into having sex. And it's not only young men, we've seen adults doing that. So give us your take on the issue. You, as someone who is part of the program, what do you experience when you talk to your peers? What do you tell them? What is the conversation?
What you have said about young ladies feeling pressured to have sex, that is true, because like when people join campus, they come here, most of them have no original information about sexual matters, because in Kenya, we find the culture restricts people from speaking about sex to often. So when people come to competition from high school, they want to try out these things. And I would say that Spencer Future has made it possible to catch people that feel just when they're entering, beginning university, and we are able to make them understand that they can talk about sex openly with us. And they can ask any questions that they need to ask. We educate them on various forms of contraceptives, for those who are already sexually active, teach them how to use condoms, and even provide these condoms. So I think with the Brighter Future program, it's actually solving the problem of youth engaging in ignorance decisions, because you have all the information they need.
Okay. Dr. Farmer, we have a question from Megan. She says, one of the great challenges in HIV prevention is that today's young people have never known a world without AIDS and did not experience the shocking early days of the new disease. With this in mind, how can we make this message more relevant with young people today?
Oh, thank you very much for asking that question, and thanks to Megan for bringing up the challenges of HIV prevention. We need to have messages that really reach and resonate with adolescents. Often we have presented information that really focuses more on an adult population, and we sometimes expect that adolescents and young adults will just get it. Well, the facts show that that isn't really the case. One-third of new HIV infections worldwide are occurring in 15 to 24-year-olds. And this is the group where we're seeing rising rates of HIV. We also have evidence that globally, adolescents struggle, those who are living with HIV, struggle with adherence, which means that they have higher rates of bad outcome, whether that is that they succumb to the disease or they develop complications. So what we need to do is to get strong prevention messages out to adolescents. And I certainly think that some of the young people on this call and other young people who around the world who want to be involved with health solutions, they can be part of you know, our team that helps us to develop messages that are developmentally appropriate for adolescents and really speak to youth in social media and on other forms of social interaction and networking, so that adolescents get the message and HIV infections can be prevented equally as they are in the adult population.
Now, Felicity, what do you think, what role do you think young men can play and should play in the bigger picture when it comes to youth reproductive health? As a young woman, what would you like to see from young men?
I would like to see young men taking more responsibility for the reproductive health, because they tend to think that, you know, reproductive health is the business of young ladies, and probably they have girlfriends, and they think probably it's up to them to obtain, like, methods of contraceptives. Others may not even be supportive when their girlfriends decide to take up the various forms of contraceptives. They leave it entirely up to the lady, because at the end of the day, it's the ladies who end up facing the brunt of unplanned pregnancies and dangerous abortions and being seen around with, you know, with babies. And it's supposed to be a responsibility for both of them when they decide to start being sexually active.
Very good point. Felicity is saying the men should be part of it. Kwame, how do you respond?
And indeed, and I'm really glad Dr. Farmer did speak about the HIV prevalence among very young people between the ages of 14 and 24. It's very sad. We've come to a day and age where young people are much more scared of pregnancy as compared to being scared of things like HIV and AIDS and other STIs. And it's very disheartening, because, I mean, how can you tell me that you actually are scared, much more scared that you would get pregnant than live with HIV AIDS?
Because this is what some young people are saying.
This is what they are going through. And this is making the prevalence of HIV and AIDS great in that future leader sect of 14 to 24. Uh-huh. And it must be curbed. I think that the discussion must go on. There must be much more education, like what Felicity and Alan are doing. And I think young people in general should really come together, be it social media or even have a discourse. I mean, if you meet two or three of your friends, you go out, you're just chilling, just, you know, have a conversation. I mean, if your parents and your teachers are not talking to you about it, mm-hmm. talk amongst yourselves about it. I mean, encourage each other, support each other, advise each other, so that at least we know the young people are not just sitting back and then hiding behind their phones and just talking. No, we want people to actually come out and talk about it, put away the stigmatization of sex in the African community or even in any community in the world.
Yes.
And they should have a discussion and a conversation about sex, preventing STIs, and then in general, living a very healthy sexual life.
Yes, thank you for that. Dr. Farmer, how young is too young? Because some parents are really conflicted with the age, the appropriate age to start talking about sex, and how young is too young to educate a child, and even for a child to be sexually active?
Well, I think that in terms of education, we should begin at a very early age. As I think it was Kwame who mentioned the social media and the role that it plays in the lives of so many young people, even as young as 10 and 12. So it's important that if they have these avenues of connectivity, they should, the parents and other community leaders should be prepared to begin to address issues around sexual education and sexual health, so that young people get information in a way that is, you know, culturally appropriate for them, not just through an anonymous source that could be online or available through SMS and cell phones, So I think that once, I wouldn't put an age limit to this, mm-hmm. but just, you know, having these conversations at an early age to normalize the discussion is really important. And as I can hear from Felicity and Kwame, this takes a lot of preparation and effort on the part of adults. And I would like us all to work as communities together to encourage each other, including the adults who may be a little reticent, not too sure. We do think that there are resources available for adults to help them talk to their children. And certainly we do have resources that are available for peer-to-peer discussion as well.
Okay, I have a question from Ali in Liberia. He says, it seems that pop culture has made youth nowadays more promiscuous. Felicity, how do you respond to that? Do you think youth are more promiscuous today, nowadays? Or at least, what is the impact of pop culture?
Pop culture,
when you look at some of the singers, international singers like Beyonce, etc., not to name anyone, but that's what's called pop culture, you know, what's really trending among the youth. And Ali is saying that this tendency has made youth more promiscuous. It seems that they're following a trend. What do you think?
Yes and no, too. Exposure to media and this celebrity that tends to sell sex in a way contributes highly to people feeling pressured to have sex at an early age, because it makes them see that it's okay. You know, someone like Beyonce probably, people that young women have her as their icon in a way, and when they see certain things in media, in music videos for instance, they want to do that. They want to identify with their icon, and it has led them to having sex at an early age. You know, see people starting being sexually active as early as 13, 14, just because of what they are exposed to. So I think, yes, it depends also on what they see and hear.
Okay. Dr. Farmer, let me have your reaction, because this is something that I hear a lot of parents complain about, the impact of pop culture, or at least what do you think is the best approach? In this day and age, we cannot shy away from the reality. We can't hide children from what is happening in the world. So what is your take on this?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. And I noticed that Felicity started her response by saying yes and no. You're right, pop culture has many more explicit images. But I think that we've had many, many years where adolescents can engage in sexual relations at a young age. And in fact, when we think about birth to adolescent mothers, in fact, 90% of these births in low and middle income countries occur inside of marriages.
So that
when we're talking about 16 million young ladies aged 15 to 19 who become mothers, and an additional 2 million under the age of 15 who become mothers, 90% of these young people are married.
Okay.
So I think that we need to consider the cultural context in which some of these issues come to play. And we need to think about what to do about prevention of child marriage.
Okay, Dr. Farmer, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much. We have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Farmer, Michelle.
Thank you so much. And thank you to the young people. They're wonderful.
Thanks, Felicity for joining us from Kenya. And we also thank Alan,
who
was not able to stay in the conversation due to technical difficulties. And Kwame Ofori, our own here at VOA, thank you for being here.
You're always welcome.
And I'm your host, Lino Mudu in Washington, with producer Jackson Bunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.